Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the PE Geek podcast. And as always, it's an absolute pleasure to have you listening. And as I always mention, time is the greatest asset that you have. So the fact that you would sit here and listen to a podcast is really meaningful to us. So I'm really excited today because we have another guest, a phys ed teacher in Ben Perillo. How are you, Ben?
I'm doing fantastic.
Awesome. So is it 8:30 for you at the moment?
Yes, currently 8:30 in the evening.
And whereabouts are you based?
I'm based in Texas, the Dallas Metroplex area.
Okay, and you're teaching what sort of spread of classes?
I am teaching kindergarten through fifth grade, and I absolutely love it.
Yeah, so I mean, when did you get involved in phys ed? Is it something that you grew up with having a passion about, or was there a logical time or situation in your schooling that made this a realization for you that you wanted to teach phys ed?
Yeah, I really, going through high school, didn't really think about teaching. I was going to be an accountant. My dad and I were going to open a business together. And when I took econ in high school, some of the stuff didn't make sense to me. And so I'm like, well, that might not be the path for me. So I went into college undecided of what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And at my university, they had a place we can go to and talk to people about things that interest you and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I knew I liked to exercise. I knew I liked all that whole concept of lifting weights and all that. And so they were thinking maybe the health promotion route. I'm like, okay. And then I started looking through some of the stuff that was offered at the school, and I saw physical education, non-teaching. Mm-hmm. And so I contacted them. I said, what's the difference? And I said, well, we don't have a non-teaching degree, only teaching. I'm like, okay, well, if I get a teaching degree, I'll see that I can work well with different levels. Mm-hmm. So I started going that route, and they put me into a classroom during that first semester, and I fell in love. I'm like, oh my God, this is awesome. This is me. I love the whole concept. And so I kind of fell into it, it feels like, but I'm so glad that I found that path because I just love what I do. And the fact that I can go to work every day and loving my job is just phenomenal.
Yeah, for sure. And I can tell that with the work that you do, there's this real passion and enthusiasm, not only to obviously work with the group of kids that you work with, but to share it. So you have a website that you happen to share a lot of stuff on. Where can people find that?
Yes, I do. And it is at teachphysed.weebly.com.
Mm-hmm. And I know for a fact that people do love the videos and stuff that you produce, the dance videos. Like, where did that sort of come as an idea for you?
Yeah, that's funny. Okay, my older brother is a big YouTuber. Yeah. And he kind of is like, dude, you need to start a channel. And I'm like, well, I have no idea what I would do. He's like, oh, just, you know, you could show your games or something. I'm like, okay. So out of fun, one day I made a little video and something I kind of wanted to do just for my students. So I made a little video I can't remember what song it was. I wanted to say it was Moves Like Jagger. Mm-hmm. And I made the little video and I got so many comments on it. And I think primarily because my brother, they were trying to get him to dance, but more people watched it that were following me. And this was all the beginning process. Mm-hmm. And they were like, this is so cool. I can see myself doing this every day. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm just going to turn this into a thing. Mm-hmm. So now, you know, I try during the school year once a week to record some kind of dance video or basically movement to song, exercising the songs really. Mm-hmm. And so I just kind of rotate around and it's just really kind of snowballed. And I love hearing the comments from people. I love seeing the pictures of the kids doing the activities. And so that whole aspect of the YouTube channel just kind of came together, kind of fell into that one too, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
But it's a fun. I enjoy trying to figure out what to do, what songs to make to do, a moderate, to vigorous, to or light, where they're sitting down, to drum fit or the aerobic drumming, whatever people want to call that. So I love piecing that together. And then, you know, and I still have my other section, you know, I call my Teach Phys Ed area, which is the games and activities I use with my students. And I also have those posts, and I tried, again, posting those once a week on my channel. And I link it all through my website. That's the best way to go, is if you go to the website, there's an area for the videos, and you can go there, and it's laid out very easily to find different songs instead of having to search.
Awesome. So, I mean, I've seen a few photos of this in action of people using the dancers that you've produced. And is the common way that people set it up is they may have a laptop station and different dances happening? Is that one way that you've seen it used?
Yeah, mostly I've seen it used where people are projecting it on the wall. So they'll have their laptop hooked up to the projector and obviously their sound, because some of the sound in the videos is not the greatest.
Mm-hmm.
I've found a better way to do it. So they'll hook it up to their speakers and they'll play it that way and project it on the wall, and the whole class will follow along and participate, kind of like the Just Dance video game.
Yeah.
And so they just mirror along and follow along to the movements and stuff like that. That's the main way I've seen it used. I know I've heard from classroom teachers as well, especially my campus, who use them with their students during the brain boost activities during the day and stuff, or indoor recess even.
Yeah, that's so powerful too, because like we know, there's a lot of situations where people lose gyms and lose spaces to weather and all sorts of situations. So it is something that you could do in limited space, I believe.
Yeah, in fact, power went out in our school, and I'm like, okay, what can I do? I had my laptop. It was still connected to the Wi-Fi, so I was able to pull up. And of course, you know, it's dark. We're in a hallway, and I'm like, hey, I can do the ones where I'm sitting down. So it was a great tool for me to go to. I was like, oh. And so we pulled up a bunch of the little videos while sitting down, and here's my little kindergartners doing right along with the video. So they got a little exercise in and everything, awesome. Even with the power out. So it was pretty cool.
Yeah,
it's a nice tool to have to go to.
That arsenal of things that you can sort of draw on when you need it. So we'll link to your website and the videos in the show notes for anyone listening. That's thepeergeek.com/70 for episode 70. But the other thing that I wanted to talk to you about, and I sort of think of you every time I hear the word, is the Fitstep Pro pedometers. Like, where did you get involved in starting to use these?
Let's see. Maybe 5 years ago.
Wow.
Someone from Gopher came out to our school district,
mm-hmm.
and was showing them. I think it was Bob Pangrazi who actually came, if I'm not mistaken. And he was showing us about these, and he was talking about the MVPA, that moderate to vigorous physical activity level. And I'm like, these things are awesome. Like, I can do so much more having those as a tool for my students than just a regular step counter.
Yeah.
And so about 3 years ago, I purchased one set. And then 2 years ago, I purchased a second set. So I had enough for my groups. I have a really weird schedule how they rotate through to me, but I love it. So I had two groups that stay with me the entire time. And so those are my students that wear the pedometers. And the second I put them on, and one group had the Fitstep Pros and one group didn't, and they're all like, the kids that did it, they were like, oh man, when can we wear those? I'm like, your day is blah, blah, blah. And this, you know, and so I made sure when I started out, everybody had a chance to wear them at least once during the week.
Yeah.
Between the two sets that I had. And so now it's just great because the kids love them. They can thumb through it. They can look at where they're at in class and see how active they've been. My class is about 50 minutes long, so they can see where they're at any point. They can open it up and look and everything. And so,
as they're rolling into your class, what's the process for them to get their, pedometer? Is there something that you've set up for that?
Yeah. What I've been doing is on my whiteboard, I'll write down, this year we've been writing, in the past, I just kind of had a little sheet of paper, but the kids have a hard time seeing it. So now I've been writing it on the board saying, these two groups, this is the color pedometer you're going to grab. So when they come in, they immediately just grab it out of the bin that I have it in. And I just have them right now in the storage bins that they came in from the company.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm looking at doing the pocket chart, which I know a lot of people have done, just to get kind of up off the floor.
Yep.
So they just grab it. Once they're done with that, they continue on to whatever warm-up activity that we're doing, where it's either we're jogging or we're doing a dance video or we're playing a tagging game or something. So, and it's pretty quick. The kids, you know, they're bam, bam, they're in. They got those things going. They're ready to go right away.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, it seems to be a really seamless experience because, you know, a lot of people's frustrations would be that it wouldn't be, and it's the complete opposite with the Gopher Fitstep Pros. It is, integrates really well into your class. So how has your teaching changed since that you've used it?
I have noticed that it's really helped me to make sure the activities I choose are appropriate for the activity level I need the students to be at. Because here we have to make sure that our students, based off of what the state says, that they have to be in that MVPA area for at least 50% of the time that they're with me. So I really had to make sure the activities I'm choosing are able to get them that activity level. And if I tweak it a little bit here and there, it really helps out. The way my class is split up is I have like a first half where I have my fitness activity. So it's a lot of intense. So that's where they get most of their MVPA in. And then I have my second one activity, which is could be working on building the skill building activity. It could be actually working on the skill prior to the main activity. Mm-hmm. So so I make sure whatever I'm doing, at least one of those two lessons is a highly active for them to reach their moderate to vigorous activity level.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I just think about, you know, how much of a benefit it must be to have access to that sort of data with, you know, in terms of reflecting on the class and preparing for others. It must be challenging for schools that didn't or don't have access to some of this technology. Would that be true?
Yeah, definitely, because it's just such a nice tool to kind of even judge yourself on. Mm-hmm. Am I talking too much? Am I giving too much instruction to kids? Are we wasting too much time? Like I said, because we have to hit that 50%. And so I feel like it's a very strong tool. For if people sure. can find a way to purchase them, then I definitely would say go for it because they're awesome.
Yeah. So we'll link in the show notes to what they are and where you can find out more information about them at Gophers. So, I mean, another theme that I have noticed with you, and we've sort of touched on it already here, is this interest in technology. I mean, obviously, you know, the video, the YouTube channels, your website, and obviously the Fitstep Pros. So where did your interest in technology sort of emerge?
I'd probably say my older brother.
Yeah.
Because for a while, I wasn't afraid of technology, but I really wasn't into it like I am now. Mm-hmm. And once he kind of turned me on to doing this, using the YouTube channel and stuff, I was doing an Ask Me Anything interview thing with him and me, and so his fans could ask me questions. And one of them was asking me about the bug in the Fitbit, and which one would I prefer? And I looked at the video, came out, I go, the what in the what? And so, like, I felt so embarrassed because I had never heard of them. And I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, I always thought I was kind of up on technology. And that kind of opened my eyes, like, maybe I'm not. So then I'm like, I got to submerge myself in this. And that's what I did. And so after that, it just has been a passion, like trying to find the latest craze, the best that's out there to bring to my students so they can have an enjoyable experience with it. And so and that's, I think, where it came from. And I love seeing little gadgets and, you know, or I'll go to a store and I'll see some kind of device that could be used. I'm like, okay, how can I use that?
Yeah, I mean, and it shows and it reflects this enthusiasm for learning that you have too, which you ultimately want them to have. Like it's, you know, you're actually showcasing the thing that you're trying to ultimately have them leave your class with. So I love it. I think it's works on so many levels. So what are you exploring with at the moment? Is there anything that comes to mind that you're interested in trialing or using or you've seen but would like to get access to, or maybe something that you've done that you thought was a real hit?
Well, it's very interesting. There's a couple different things that I really like that's coming out. The Blacktop PE that VitaThread has put together. That looks very that's very handy, and I'm looking forward to seeing that some more. And I've been able to get my hands on that.
So what does it do?
The company. It is an assessment app, and all so right. It has every assessment you can think of under the sun, all underneath one, and they have it in a portal, web portal, and so you can access it from your iPad, and you can pull up your class, and you can pull up the kids, and you can assess three different things at one time. It's just really neat and handy. It's quick click of buttons, and then, you know, the results can be emailed to you and backlogged or whatnot and saved. And so you can pull it up at any time and assess it many times as you want. It's really, really cool. And the other, of course, is the app you're working on, the Monster. I can't even say it right.
Monsuta.
The Mansuta. There you go. That I'm very excited about that. I'm like, oh, I got it. I'm like, when you posted that, I'm like, okay, I'm sold. I want that, you know, because I'm very excited because I like the fact that it's bringing more exercising into it instead of just walking and going and being able as a teacher to plot different places.
Well, I must say, you're a real catalyst in its development to go from it just being this little informal sort of, you know, something that was cool, but you made it become way more than it would have been if I hadn't have had the conversation with you initially around where it should head, like to close it down to schools and make it a little bit more secure and sort of, yeah, give a bit more control to schools. So I want to thank you for that. And the Mansuta name, do you know where that comes from?
No.
It's actually Japanese for monster. That's the tie in there. Okay. So
yeah.
I mean,
that's awesome.
It is. I'm sort of really happy with where it's progressed. And if you're interested in finding out more about it, head to monsuda.fitness and you can find out there about how you create and craft experiences for students. So yeah, thanks for mentioning that. And I mean, along the way with the tech journey, have you ever made any mistakes? You know, you've tried something and it hasn't been a success, or you know, there's like you mentioned the other day that the Wi-Fi and the power and things went out. Like, any moments that come to mind like that?
Yes. I didn't know what a dynamic QR code was until recent few weeks. Yeah. I had some issues with Google changing some things where it used to be the animated GIFs would automatically play in Google Drive. So I have QR codes like everywhere, mm-hmm. That would play animated GIFs.
And,
I have it on different things that I, on my website and stuff too. And I'm like, oh my goodness, they changed it. It's not playing.
Yeah.
And I was talking to Kevin Tiller and he's like, dude, didn't you do dynamic QR codes? And I'm like, no, what are those? And he told me basically you could just go in and change the link and you don't have to change the code. I'm like, gosh, I wish I would have known that before.
Yeah.
I hit my head and I spent a long time, but I've made them all into dynamic codes now.
Yeah.
So hopefully I'll only have to change links if they change it. But I think that was a big oops on technology.
During the time, like, did you go to scan the QR code and realize the content that it linked to was no longer working? Or was that in class or was it just outside of a classroom setting?
It was outside the classroom setting because I was scanning for, it might have even been for a presentation, I want to say, too. Scanned it and it wasn't playing. I thought, oh, it's just the connection is not very strong.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started thinking about it some more and I kept scanning and like, it's just a still image. Why is this? And then I found out, I think they changed a few things. It's, you know, it's going to happen. And I never thought it would. That's when that happened. So I quickly rushed to try to fix as many of them that I could as fast as I could. I think I got them all now. I hope I've got my fingers crossed.
Awesome. And you mentioned another thing as well.
Oh, yeah. Another one I ran into, speaking of QR codes, is I had some linked videos. And I don't know if it's just the Wi-Fi service that the iPads were working on or if I had too many iPads going on at one time. But I had for a while, I scanned my QR codes and it would pop up a dance video. And so the kids wouldn't know what they were scanning. It was just a code. And so they'd scan it and then they'd play the video and they would dance to it. And I had probably about 10 or 15 iPads. Mm-hmm. And it was really, when it was working solid, but we would scan some codes and it would just take forever for the videos to pull up. And then we, you know, and some would just never pull up. And so, eventually, I didn't necessarily give up on it, but I haven't done it since then. So I don't know what. I don't know if I should. I probably should just to give it a try again. But that was technology during class when something kind of went amiss.
Yeah, I mean it's the real world though, isn't it? Like this learning process is fraught with things that go wrong and right. That's for our students. It's no different for us too. So. I like that you're not turned away by that because I do speak with a lot of teachers that, you know, they think that the worst thing that could possibly happen is that something maybe doesn't work as it's intended and it turns them away from trying to do new things. And I think that's a real shame. So I'm glad that's not something that you struggle with at all. And I think that's a reason why you're successful because you are willing to try things and explore and adapt and share it. That's the real key. So I want to thank you for coming on to the episode and sharing the things that are working for you and how you got started, because it does help other people. And just one more time, where can people find out your website and the things that you're doing?
It is at www.teachphysed.weebly.com.
Awesome. So we'll link to that in the show notes as well. And I really do recommend, jumping on, checking it out. Where can you're on Twitter as well and other means. Is that a few other places that people can get you?
Yes. Yeah. You can find me. And it's my Twitter handle is at Coach Perillo. Mm-hmm. So it's just my last name. I am on Voxer. If anybody's on Voxer, and I have the same Voxer username at Coach Perillo. Those are, and I do have a Pinterest page, but I'm not a pinner, I guess. But yeah, the best way is Twitter. I'm definitely active on that, most between that and Voxer.
Yeah, for sure. That's how I connect with you. So, like I said, thanks for coming on. I look forward to catching up and seeing what you're doing down the road. Thanks again.
Thank you.
See you later.
All right.